Welcome to Trillions. I'm Joel Weber.
And I'm Eric Balchunas.
We're in the middle of March Madness, Eric. It's just like my favorite time of year just because it's like chaos and I love watching basketball. College basketball, especially.
It's sports bliss. Not only is it great because every game is sudden death, right? Everybody cares so much. I love that. It's better than the regular season. But by the time the tournament's over, it's kind of springtime and sunny out. It's the greatest tournament for multiple reasons for me, and I'm a big basketball fan too.
So we have a special way to celebrate the spirit of March Madness with ETFs. We've gone to Bloomberg News reporters who cover ETFs. We've asked them each to pick their favorite ticker, eight different teams, eight different tickers, and we've seeded them based on assets under management. And we're going to have a gigantic smackdown on today's show. It's going to be epic to determine the very best ticker of all.
Before you tune out thinking this has nothing to do with investing, let me tell you two reasons this actually matters and why what you're going to hear. First of all, marketing in ETFs is huge. 80% of the flows go to two or three companies, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. That leaves 120 companies fighting over 20% of your money. And tickers is a huge marketing advantage. If you have a good one, it sticks out. Every category now has 50 ETFs. So picking a ticker is big business. It matters, and it can really help sell an ETF. But it can also be a shiny object that leads you to something you don't want. So the ticker shouldn't be all. And I think we're going to explore a lot of that.
So give us a couple examples of how it can help.
Block, the blockchain ETF that came out with the ticker BLOK, came out the same day as another blockchain ETF with the ticker BLCN, which is, let's admit it, a little more boring. Block is just easy. You can say it. It's a noun. Yeah. That Block has 170 million. BLCN has 110 million.
Give me another one.
FAN versus PWND. FAN is the global wind energy. PWND is also a wind energy. Obviously, FAN kills.
You just get it, right?
And FAN has $88 million. And more importantly, it's alive. PWND liquidated in the graveyard.
So literally, worst case scenario, like the better ticker wins the war. But a good ticker doesn't always save the day.
Absolutely. Like a ticker is like icing on the cake, but it's not the cake. For example, here's some good tickers where from the graveyard. These are ETFs that are liquidated. Waste, WSTE for the waste management ETF, gone. Vroom for the car ETF, that's gone. Byte restaurants, FAA for airlines, and Puff for sin, basically gambling and cigarette stocks, gone.
Why didn't those work?
A lot of times it comes down to timing. But like in the case of KRU, Australia Small Cap, that was around when Australia had some good runs, but it's just too niche. It sliced the onion too thinly, and no one cares.
This episode on Trillions, ticker madness. Okay, so joining us today, we have a bunch of different Bloomberg News reporters, and we also have an editor named David Papadopoulos, who's going to be the judge deciding who advances. Now, I've already paid him off so that I win this whole thing, but maybe you guys have paid him off too. But David, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. You know, and actually, Joel, I was greatly appreciative, and I was shocked that no one else threw me a little cash.
It's not too late. He's probably still able to take bribes, which is actually really in the spirit of March Madness with what's actually been going on with the NCAA. Okay, first matchup. Moo versus EMTY. I'm going to throw it over to that bracket. Can you introduce yourselves, what you do, and why you've picked the tickers that you've picked?
Okay, I'm Suzanne Woolley. I picked Moo, which is the ticker for VanEck Vectors Agribusiness ETF. I picked it because it's a classic. It's been around since 2007. It's the most evocative ticker out there. You think Moo, you think, what do you think? If you think of a farm, you think of agribusiness. That's it.
So that's the two seed. The seven seed, Ben Steverman, introduce yourself.
My name is Ben Steverman. I cover personal finance here, and my pick is EMTY or MT, which is the ProShares Decline of the Retail Store ETF. Ooh. So basically, this is what I love about it is it's funny, and also it's a delightfully evil bet against Main Street retail in the United States. This is a brand new ETF, came out in November. Doesn't have very many assets so far. But what I love is, first of all, that's funny. And second of all, that it's very evocative of this post-apocalyptic landscape that so many malls and shopping centers all across this country are turning into. And it's basically this bet that all that's going to go and can continue to go. and get worse, and Amazon's going to eat everybody's lunch.
I want to throw a little shade on this. I want to know that I use the word evocative, okay? So I think it's sort of, you know, I've got a new ticker for Ben's argument here, which is like L-A-M-E, lame. So I'm just throwing that out there.
So before I rule here, I got to ask, so Ben, as I make that bet against, right, and I bet sort of the retail apocalypse, tangibly, how does this ETF invest in? How does that?
So it is a, it uses a swap, and which means that it's basically shorting another index, which is the bricks and mortar retail stores index. And it's so that that has all the classics: Gap, Dick's Sporting Goods, Dollar General, Ross stores, like all these traditional mainline retailers that are struggling. The other thing I love about it is that, as Eric and Joel have talked about on this show many times, betting on one of these inverse ETFs is actually a pretty dangerous strategy. So in some ways, the empty that could be happening here is not just the emptying of the retail stores. It could be the emptying of the investment accounts of the people who invest in this thing, because it could be a really dangerous play.
That's nice, Ben.
That just went next level.
Whoa. Suzanne, before I rule here, do you have a final, any final words?
I'm just going with classic, and I'm going with, like, food. This is food. This is global. This is huge. I'm being a positive, positive force in the world.
This is exactly what a Ben versus a 17 is supposed to be.
Okay.
Negativity.
We've got a ruling, and we have our very first upset. after Moo was putting it on him early, and it looked like a total blowout. It looked like it was early on. It was Moo 23, empty 7. Empty just kind of kept wearing me down. Ultimately, what sold me beyond the great empty name is that it is just a huge part of the American story, the investing story, and the economy story, what empty's about. And that was the
as
final
As opposed
rule.
To agribusiness.
As opposed to agribusiness.
This is stunning. I'm shocked. You know, I frequently call Moo the Mona Lisa of ETF tickers. It's perfect. It usually makes the number one of everybody's list, but man, empty is pretty good. And Ben made a good case.
I should have paid off Papadopoulos.
Okay, now we're going to go to Philadelphia, to the Wells Fargo Center, where Eric is a 3 seed, and we kind of let him have a little bit of an advantage, which he actually has 2 tickers, Yin and Yang, which he's going to talk about as a grouping. And then with a 6 seed, Carolina Wilson with TAN. Carolina?
Yeah, Carolina Wilson. I cover ETFs for the U.S. stocks team here, and I'm from Miami, Florida, where everyone and their mother quite literally wants to be more tan. And I think actually that Florida has the most tanning salons than any other state in the country.
You did your research.
Yeah, I think I was pretty torn on doing research on spray tans and fake tans versus what tan actually does. But no, so I have the Guggenheim Solar Energy Index ETF. And since the whole point of this is to defend the importance of a ticker, tan has already undergone an easy peasy stress test scenario for this. And Eric has actually, this is from one of your handy dandy Bloomberg
intelligence decks. Ooh, using his own research against him.
So 2 solar ETFs launched about 10 years ago within about a week of each other. So TAN was one, what a great ticker. And KWT, I think it's like for a kilowatt. But you want to guess where most of the assets and volume went to?
TAN.
But I'm talking about TAN raking in close to $400 million in assets, and KWT didn't even manage to get much more than $15 million. So if you don't want to believe me, I mean, you could follow the money.
You've done your research. All right, Eric, what do you got?
I picked 2 leveraged ETFs, triple leveraged China, Yin and Yang.
Wow.
The Direction Daily FTSE China Bull 3X shares and the Bear 3X shares. And the reason I picked these is because who doesn't love the yin-yang symbol? I mean, it's basically thousands of years old. It's from Chinese philosophy, which is perfect because here you're betting on either bullish China or bearish China, right? And it's one of the rare ETFs where you don't even need to know the name, really. You know what's going on there. I mean, you probably should because it's leveraged. Then that adds a whole nother wrinkle. But I think it's a good ticker, especially because when you have leverage going one way and the other, it's real nice to have 2 things that appear to be opposite. And I think this one nails it. And, you know, when you go back, look, the balance of the universe is sort of contained in the yin-yang symbol.
And to me, that's sort of the leverage ETF area. You've got, you know, equal number going long, equal number going short. But unfortunately, they all don't balance out. They do lose money over time. So as we've talked about many times, they're trading tools. But in our traffic light system, this is a hard red light. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it's just a killer ticker. But just a little dig on TAN. I think TAN is what you get. In fact, I think you get burnt when you hold TAN. It's down 87% since inception.
But the investors of that get a nice juicy yield because of since those solar stocks are so hated, they are really like they're required for shorts, and so this thing brings in some extra cash because of its like aggressive securities.
The crowd is nodding in agreement. Right
I am
now.
Literally surrounded by ETF nerds.
Yeah, except for the Greek, except for the judge.
Okay, all right.
So we have a ruling. We have a ruling. And what is ultimately, it was a close game here, but ultimately sometimes the higher seed wins. Ooh. And the higher seed, despite the whole thing being a touch convoluted, frankly, you know, triple leverage, the multiple tickers, the higher seed wins out. Carolina did give up a good fight. Ultimately, a touch too much shtick on Florida. I only want to hear so much about Florida, just as you prepare for next time around. But I did like the fight, and also the fact that he pulled out that 87% plunge on you late. That wasn't helpful.
I'm going to go get a tan now.
There you go.
By the way, why do people in Florida need tanning beds? Wouldn't you need them more?
It's not enough. It's just not enough.
It's wild.
All right. Bracket two. We've got Dani Berger in London with her ticker. This is a one seed. SMH. And she's going against Luke Kawa at an eight seed with the ticker Boone. Dani, who are you? What do you do? What's your ticker?
I am a cross-asset reporter. Besides reporting on cross-asset, I also eat a lot of snacks out of the London pantry. I consider that my profession.
And you're
as
based
well.
In London. You're joining us
I am
remotely.
Based in London, yes, yeah. Indeed. But as you can tell from my accent, I come from New York. So I am hip with the U.S.-based tickers. For some reason, the tickers aren't as exciting in Europe. So I did go with a U.S. one. This time around.
And why SMH?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to take issue with the fact that I'm a one seed.
Me too.
This I think I'm coming here as the underdog because SMH was not intended to be a fun ticker. This is the VanEck Vectors Semiconductor ETF. And the reason SMH is so brilliant is because it's not gimmicky, but still it is fresh, it is new. SMH, for those who don't know, is internet lingo for shaking my head. And there is no way that VanEck decided when they made SMH that they wanted a ticker that was shaking my head.
Yeah, but you have $1.3 billion in assets.
Okay, yeah, but the reason I love this so much is that every single time this thing sells off, there are outflows, you can say, SMH. People hold $1 billion from this fund. It is awesome.
Yeah.
I love how like accidentally perfect this is.
Well, VanEck is the same company that has a ticker crack.
That's true.
It should have been reserved for the triple leverage junior gold miners, but it's actually the some sort of like oil type ETF.
I've heard enough from from London. Give me the real eight seed on it. I want to hear what they have to say.
All right, Luke Kawa, Boone.
All right, I'm Luke Kawa. I'm also a cross-asset reporter, and as you will be able to tell at some point from my accent, originally from Canada. But, you know, again, before starting to, you know, extol the virtues of Boone, and, you know, that is the NYSE Pickens Oil Response ETF. I'd first really, again, like Dani over there, like to really question the wisdom of both Dani and whoever put these tickers together. The number one rank is going to a product that's an abbreviation for a negative form of nonverbal communication coming about from what millennials do when they're too lazy to spell things. When I look at my portfolio, the last thing I want to do is think shaking my head. The last thing, like this terrible, terrible branding, terrible advertising. Dani makes the case against it better than I ever could. But it's hard for like this octogenarian, this multi-millionaire, a wildcat raider turned oil tycoon, could ever be considered an underdog or the new kid on the block. But that's the case with Boone. This ETF it's brand new. It's got very little in assets. But what it is it's basically a reflection of the most defining macro trend, probably since the financial crisis, and that's the rise of U.S. energy. T. Boone, along with his lieutenants who helped formulate this equal weight fund, wants you to go in all in on the U.S. energy renaissance. You've got things like Alcoa in there. You've got things like QD Brands, First Solar. But in as much as this is kind of, you know, an energy and an energy-linked play, I think the timing is also pretty darn good for Boone. Right now, the relative performance of energy stocks versus the S&P 500 has trailed and lagged the oil price by the most on record. So, you know, at some point, we've got to be playing catch-up, and I think Boone is the way to catch up. And, you know, some ETF providers, they want to have their name on the ice of the Madison Square Garden, like Spider. T. Boone Pickens, he wants his name on the front of the stadium, both his name and his company's name. So if you've got some aspiration, I think you're going Boone.
All right, here's the thing. I don't need a rebuttal period. I've got a ruling.
By the way, 8 seed coming out thick.
Yeah.
He's got to lay it all out there. I don't know what he's going to have for later rounds, but it's like 8 seed showing up.
That's all I got.
Vermont over here.
Yeah, no, the 8 seed doesn't have to, in this case, worry about later rounds because the 8 seed got knocked out. I'm going to say this about the 8 seed. So Luke, here's the thing. I love the energy and the firepower, and I think as you come back to this next year, you know, you're going to do well. But at the end of the day, what does he in here is Boone. It's just too scrawny. It's just, I can't, 2.5 million. I just can't.
Steve
I'm not feeling
Nash
it.
Was a back-to-back MVP. Small guy, Canadian too.
He's still fighting. I love how much.
And London, what I'm going to say to London, you survived in advance, but you got to bring a little more firepower the next round.
It was sleepy.
It was a little sleepy.
All right.
SMH, I'm not, you know, if ultimately Boone didn't do itself in with its scrawniness, you would have gotten knocked out. You got to bring a little something more next round.
For the next round, we have Joel is the what seed, Joel?
I'm a 4 seed.
You're a 4 seed. Mm. And we have Rachel Evans, who is a
5 seed.
5 seed. Oh, so this is a good one. This is that 4-5 matchup. Four, five. Anybody could win here. Joel is coming at us with the ticker Wood, and Rachel has the ticker She. So we're going to start with the 4 seed. Joel, go ahead.
All right. Wood is the iShares Global Timber Forestry ETF. I picked this one because I'm an Oregonian.
You are.
Yeah.
It's true.
So back when the Ducks won their only NCAA title, it was all about the big guys from Oregon, right? So I'm picking the big trees, going with the wood. This is a thematic ETF, which is one of the things that Eric and I often get to talk about on the show because they're in vogue a little bit. This has been crushing it, up 30% over the last year. It's got companies that are not only US and North American, you got a little bit of Canadian in there, you got some Brazil, you also got some other global stuff. So I like that it's diversified regionally. And then what's been crushing it has been the fact that e-commerce has been buying up everything paper, right? You got all these Amazon Prime boxes, you need cardboard for that. So I think it's a strong play. I will say that I don't like this head-to-head matchup.
Nervous.
Be afraid.
I'm really scared of this, but I've made my case.
Rachel.
All right. Well, and so Rachel, just a little bit who you are and also the ticker that you brought and why you did it.
So my name's Rachel Evans. I'm an ETF reporter based here in New York, though we're a very international bunch today as I'm from the UK originally. So I've come to you guys with SHE, which is the Spider SSGA Gender Diversity Index ETF, SHE. Now, what that ETF does is it invests in companies that really have a positive attitude towards getting women onto boards, getting women into executive positions, and having women CEOs, chairs, other executives and directors. Now, the reason I chose this ticker is because for me, a ticker should stick in the mind, should be simple, it should be evocative and tell you what the fund does, but it should also be memorable. Now, this is where for me, SHE really stands out, partly because of my English heritage, right? So growing up in the 1990s in the UK, Notting Hill was a massive movie. And the end of the credits, Notting Hill, you have Elvis Costello doing a great version of SHE by Charles Aznavour. Every time I look up this ticker on the terminal, I sing SHE in my head, and sometimes occasionally out loud as well. So for me, this is...
Can you sing it now?
She could be the face I can't forget.
That is amazing.
Joel, okay. I will literally do anything
already
to win this.
Not only are we in the middle of a Me Too moment, but I picked Wood and go head-to-head with She.
Well, see, there you
How
go.
Is this going to go?
You bring up another thing that is perfect for this ticket.
But
right?
I will say, there's some irony here, which, you know, I looked up your holdings. Number one holding, Pfizer.
Yes.
Right.
So on top of all this, there's a Viagra moment going on. So it's just like irony on irony.
So that's the interesting thing. When you do look at the holdings, like this is often categorized as an environmental social governance fund. And obviously on the governance side, you can see why that is. But it doesn't necessarily tick the boxes that you might see from a typical ESG fund. It's not steering clear of your kind of multinationals. It's steering into that and rewarding those that really kind of actually advocate for women. But I would just say on the point of the Me Too movement, these guys have been incredible with their marketing from the word go. This ETF was launched on International Women's Day back in 2016. They set up the Fearless Girl sculpture downtown.
I'm just shrinking over here.
Rachel, how much money is in this ETF?
It's just over 300 million, and that's its weakness. But when you look at ETFs, you really only start to see growth in assets from about the 3-year mark onwards. She now has 2 years under its belt. So I'm thinking that come March next year, we're really going to start to see people moving money in. But with 300 million, it's hardly small fry.
All right. Yeah, stop this fight. There haven't been many blowouts so far, but this was one of them. Rachel just put it on.
Boom, five, taking down a four.
And I'm going to say one other thing. I mean, not only was Rachel really good, man, I mean, Joel, just for you next year, don't come in with your first thought of being like, you know, I picked this one because I'm from Oregon. And Oregon's like, nobody cares. No one cares.
It's pronounced Oregon. So Oregon. That's shame on you. We'll see if you come back next year.
You can't fire the judge.
I just did. It's actually an organized show, by the way.
This reminded me of Rocky IV. When Drago fought Apollo Creed.
Oh,
yeah. That was good. Exactly what happened here. I'm not sure if Joel's alive.
I'll take the Russian. I'll take that. All right.
Back to Oregon to you.
I'm quietly shrinking away now. Okay, final four. Number one seed, SMH. Number four seed, SHE. Number seven seed, EMTY. Number three seed, Yin and Yang. First off, we're going to do SMH versus SHE. That's number one versus number four. Danny?
All right, so just like University of Virginia, which happens to be my alma mater, I am now claiming this number one seed and will not be complaining about being seated as number one. And you know why it's just like Virginia? Because it's not flashy, it's not in your face, and it's patient, which is exactly what SMH is. Not only, as I said before, is this some great internet lingo for shaking my head that works awesomely as a reporter when covering this, but this ETF waited for its time to shine. Semiconductor stocks are hot right now, and in the past 2 years, this thing has doubled its assets. It didn't need to go after some try to pander to the crowd, need to erect a statue on Wall Street. It sat there, it played defense, just like University of Virginia, and like Tony Bennett, who not only is a singer, but is also the coach of University of Virginia, taught its team patience, which is exactly what this fund did with its holdings until they came into favor. And you know what? This makes me say, SMH, shaking my head, this is a great ETF.
Somebody lit a fire on Danny.
There was a talk in the locker room.
There was. SHE.
All right, SHE. Well, I feel like I'm a bit of a disadvantage with all the basketball metaphors going on. But nonetheless, SHE is the ETF that you can pretty much buy if you want to get your corporate governance exposure sorted out, right? You've got the Me Too movement, which we touched on before, that is really having a day. So, and this is something that I think is going to develop over the next year. So I think if you start to watch the flows going into SHE, I think we're going to start to see an uptick in these. Like, this fund is becoming more and more seasoned in terms of the amount of time it's been out in the market. And what it does that's very different to other funds out there in the ESG space, environmental social governance, is that it really allows you to tilt your holdings towards stuff that actually benefits women. Now, the way it does that is you have the ratio of women on boards to the overall board. You have the ratio of women executives to the overall executives. And it's actually quite a sophisticated methodology. It's not as simple as SMH, perhaps, but the methodology really allows you to be very targeted in your approach. Now, having that target has actually really paid off. If you look at the returns for SHE over the last year, you're looking at around 15% or so. Now, that's pretty good. That's pretty much in line with the S&P, slightly below, but pretty much in line with the S&P.
I just got to jump in. Rachel plays San Antonio Spurs basketball. It's like highly efficient, triangle offense.
Lots of passes.
Lots of passes, and she just like keeps it coming.
Danny, any final comments before we have a ruling? I'm pretty clear. I think I know what I'm going to say, but hit me with any final thoughts.
Final thought is Wahoo Wah Go Who's.
Wow.
I can't beat that.
Yeah. So there's a an expression in horse racing, the bounce. When a horse runs a huge race and a huge figure one race and then tends to regress a little bit.
This is me, isn't it? I can tell.
It's a bit of a regression. I think we had a bit of a regression here. She shouldn't have, I mean, ultimately put too much of a beating on Weber and just should have saved a touch of that.
That first round was a tough matchup.
It was. That's what you're saying. But you didn't ultimately, maybe she ultimately didn't need to win by 43 points that first game.
Whereas
Wahoo Wah, indeed, sort of, you know, after a sleepy round one, backing into round two, Wahoo Wah was very impressive. SMH, you are in the finals. Go back to your locker room, get pumped up. And if you bring that same firepower to the finals, I mean, you're going to be a handful.
Congrats. Right,
no mean seed. Reversion here. No mean reversion.
Nice one,
this.
Danny. Best person won.
Oh, no.
All right. We got a number one seed in the final. And now... let's see a number 7 versus a number 3. We got Ben with EMTY. You had a great first round. Eric, you know, I don't know what to say. You're the 3 seed. Let's hear your battle.
So, like I said, I went with Yin and Yang. This is the triple leverage China long and triple leverage China short, which is, I mean, arguably a masterpiece because the Yin Yang symbol is a masterpiece. It's older than gold, okay? It dates back to like 14th century BC. Mm-hmm. It's been around forever. What other ticker can say that? And I personally have a personal relationship with the yin yang symbol because I'm very lazy about Halloween. And one year in college, I was like trying to get a costume together. So I was like, oh, I'll be a cow. So I painted my face white and I put a little dot on it like the spot on a cow. I went to the party. Everyone's like, dude, you're the yin yang symbol.
Aha, there it is.
And so I proceeded to be the yin yang symbol for the next couple of years for Halloween, which is a great costume, by the way. Everybody loves it. So I realized then how powerful and likable the symbol is, and it's perfect for the metaphor.
It
says everything. You don't even need to know what the ETF does. Your long China or your short China, take a pick.
I like how he saved the personal touch for the second round.
Right, unlike someone else.
I was going to say, can I just go she to the next Halloween party? That seems like a pretty easy costume.
All right, Ben.
This reminds me of like your college roommate who read one book on Buddhism and then thinks he's Richard Gere or Dalai Lama. Like, this is like... literally, yin and yang is like, this is an American ETF based on the 50 biggest Chinese stocks. And like, the people who put it together probably know as much about this Eastern philosophy as you or me. This is Panda Express. Yeah. This is not authentic Chinese food.
Yeah.
EMTY. So the price to earnings ratio of Amazon right now is 324. How do you bet on the decline of American retail, which is one of the biggest economic stories right now? And when a recession hits, it's going to be epic. It could be epic if these retailers can't pull out of it and develop a better online strategy. I think that this, of course, I said in the first round, this could totally empty out your bank account. But I also think that this is actually providing something for investors that they need. A way to bet against the decline of retail, a bet on the decline of retail. And yes, it's a little evil to bet on profiting from millions of people losing their livelihoods, but it's a legit strategy.
It is evil. The other thing I would say about empty is if you're really committed to this strategy, why not go with Clicks, which is short those mall stocks, but long Amazon and the e-commerce.
Well, not everyone can, you know, throw multiple ETFs in their, in their pick. Empty. Final thoughts?
My final thought is think back to when you were a teenager. Well, I think back to when I was a teenager, and I think about nostalgically about walking around the mall, going to the Gap, going to the video game store, going to the bookstore. All that's over. Life in America has changed. Kids aren't hanging out in malls. They're hanging out on Instagram and WhatsApp. This is an important tool to profit from that. And
things just got real quiet.
A real cultural moment in the U.S.
I actually think, strangely enough, that final little plea may have.
Have you gone to JCPenney lately? It's not bad that you can get gloves.
I don't know that I've ever
gone
to JCPenney.
And there's a lot of older
people
in there.
You're shopping at JCPenney?
By the way, who has the money? The older people. I'm telling you, JCPenney is full of people. The mall is underrated. You can try stuff on. It's not that bad. It's going to take 40 years for this trade to play out.
40 years empty? 40 years is going to take me to make a return on this thing?
No. This is a downward spiral. These malls are emptying out, hence the name. And right. When a store leaves a mall, they can't replace that revenue. We had a great video game on Bloomberg.com that basically let you manage a mall. And there was no way to win it because every time a retailer was suffering, you had to cut your maintenance budget, your cleaning budget. It was this fun exercise. These things are in a downward spiral. And the next recession is going to be really painful.
So this game ends with Big Ben, clock running out, crosses over, Eric steps back, knocks it down, ball game over, in a barn burner. I was really, really inclined, just because I'm, this is my little, the judge's personal preference. I'm a sucker for the triple leverage. I mean, I was just, my natural want was to go that way, but I got to believe the emptying of America's mold. It is a big story, despite what Yin Yang says. It is a big story.
Eric's over there with a towel over his head.
It's true. I'm like Isaiah Thomas. I'm not even going to like shake his hand.
Just walk
when
right
Jordan
off.
Beat me, yeah, I'm going to like really be bitter as opposed to Rachel. Ben, I hate you.
All right. Was amazing.
So
like a triple overtime.
It was. And he's probably exhausted now as he gets ready.
Seven seed.
He's got to go against the number one seed who's just lying in wait in London. Right? She's shadow boxing right now as we speak. Okay. I think we got, in fairness, too empty. Who just emptied the tank. You got to give him like 30 seconds to get up, clear his head, walk around, right? And you got to bring it again.
Yeah.
This is one of these finals nobody expected. Might not draw the viewership of, say, a Duke Kentucky, right? Like a Moo versus Tanwood, but it's going to be intriguing, and I see a close match.
So we got number one seed, shaking my head, SMH, versus number seven seed, empty. So, Papa, do we start with the seven seed or the one seed?
I think you got to give the seven seed their shot to come out firing. Seven seed.
You've
goes
never
first
been here. Yeah. Seven seed. What's going to be?
The nerves. The nerves of being a seven seed being in the final.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got it.
Wow.
You look cyclical serious, Danny. Versus secular. Semiconductors go up, go down, up and down and up and down since semiconductor was created. And what I'm talking about here with MT is a long-term secular play. Now, is a inverse ETF the best way to do something long-term? I'm not really sure I'm going to go to bat for that, but this is something that is happening and is irreversible.
You're trying to win here.
He dribbled it off his foot.
Yeah,
poor sir.
Listen, I know I appreciate Ben saying that because we just had an episode on like why you probably shouldn't use inverse ETF. So Ben's just being prudent. I wouldn't penalize
him. I'm a personal finance reporter. I don't want anybody to lose their money on this.
Fair enough. So remind me of returns on this inception of this thing and returns. Well, the judge wants a little more information.
That's right? Interesting. It's actually down about 10% since it originated, I think. It hasn't done that great. I think that there's been a small recovery from the retail stocks, but it's a dead cat bounce, and this is a good long-term play.
So this is the kind of thing, right? So it pays nothing. I lose a little. And then when it hits, you're thinking, I'm like, it's going to hit like in a big number all of a sudden out of the blue. Is that the way it would play out conceptually?
That's the plan. Yeah. It's wait till either there's a really bad recession or wait till some of these retailers just can't
Eric,
keep it up anymore.
Any guess what kind bankrupt. Of number I could be you could be looking at when this thing hit, if this thing pops?
Well, the one thing about inverse funds is they are path dependent, as they say, and if we do see them like go down in a nice steady path, this thing will start compounding a bit, and you could be ringing up some serious returns. That's sort of why it's a little dangerous because it is so inviting. But you'd have to. This thing would really hit the triple sevens if you had a nice, steady, long-term decline of these mall stores.
I'm getting an assist from Luke Kyle on this one, who points out retail sector may see more defaults in 2018 than 2017.
Wow.
So this is an everything must go, going out of business moment.
Luke.
Thank
from
you,
the
Luke.
Dead.
Yeah.
helping
from
empty.
From the grandstands, yeah.
I think Danny's up.
Number one.
I won't take offense to the fact that Luke gave Ben the assist in this moment, because I would like to point out on the 18th of April, 2017, Luke unintentionally gave me an assist by tweeting at me, "Whoa, at Danny Berger, can't believe you jumped the gun in writing off this ETF SMH."
I love that. Wow.
So even though you battled against me in the first round, I'm so sorry. I'm still going to say that you gave me an assist here. All right, so what comes to mind, and Eric was touching on this a little bit, is the idea that my competitor, you know, I've been studying the tapes, though he is undefeated. I've been thinking about other ETFs along his path that have been defeated before. And what comes to mind are short ETFs. You know, there was another short ETF out there that people said was a sure thing, that you'd be making money off of it. You know, not saying that EMTY is poses a structural threat to the market like some other ETFs did. But you know what? People said that XIV looked like a sure thing, a short ETF, just, you know, picking up pennies in front of a steamroller. And then here we have this classic ETF following semiconductors, such a great story to the market of this super liquid ETF following these stocks, which have really carried the market higher. And it's a really interesting story to see how that's evolved. But this is a clean play. It's not using swaps to get its exposure. This is a pure ETF, so pure that they accidentally gave it a ticker that we could all use to make fun of it.
Well, before I rule, I got a question for the panel, for Eric here. So, and this is actually going to have a lot of bearing on my decision. So she's comparing empty with essentially some iteration of the VIX short. And as I immediately think about it conceptually, to me, they're actually, even though they're both short, they involve shorting, they're pretty different concepts in the sense that, right, you are picking up nickels along the way. You're essentially selling that insurance, right? You are betting on the continued stability of VIX, whereas he's going for the home run. He's saying, I'm day to day, I don't care, right? I'm looking for the home run down the road. Walk me through this.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's like throwing some elbows. You could call the foul, because empty is no XIV. However, they are both short. But look, I saw it as scrappy, personally. I thought it's just like a, you know, it's a physical game. This is playoff basketball. And
it's the finals, man.
In no way, for anyone listening out there, XIV was just in a league of its own in terms of what it was doing. There are a lot of short ETFs. There are probably 200 of them that didn't implode over the past 15 years. XIV is a special case. But so that's why bringing it in is a little bit illegal. If the refs didn't see it,
No. The refs, the judge was on it. The judge was on it. So here we are. I think I think.
How is this for a final? Is it a little sleepy?
No.
You're into it.
No, it's good. I'm into it.
It kind of offset the Luke thing, because that was a little.
Yeah.
It's like the guy from the stands holding up something from the playbook of the other team.
The Luke.
No, Luke was booing me as I was trying to take free throws.
Yeah. I've got one word to describe Luke, which is bitter. He seems a little bitter. But you know, here's the thing. Danny, she was just like meticulously, like a machine, just working it, breaking it down. And I was starting to lean that way. But you know what I just sort of keep going back to? I know Eric it wasn't feeling this so much, but it just strikes me that the fate of the American consumer and the American mall, I'm actually just feeling that story as a big story, and I know in a lot of ways, this is why it was the number 7 seed. It's this short and it's minus 10 return, and it's only going to pay out, you know, if it goes big. I don't know if it's actually going to ever pay out the ETF itself, but it paid out on this show.
Oh! Yes. Empty for the win.
Empty.
Wow.
Villanova 85.
It's taken this thing down. And sweet. And Virginia, when Virginia was playing offense and they were doing well, but it was really on the attack. But this is ultimately how Virginia's defensive team. Because you know, when they're in this full offensive mode, every once in a while they can make a mistake.
Well, Danny, thank you so much for joining us from London. You put up a good battle. But Ben, personal finance for the win.
And by the way, Danny, your consolation prize is that Van Eck's probably going to call you the day after this comes out and ask you for a job.
Does the victor have any words to say?
I just want to say, don't invest in this.
No, I can't.
No. Wait a minute. Revoke. Oh, man.
Whoa. He picked his horse and ran it all the way. Luke, Rachel, Suzanne, Ben, Carolina, thank you so much for joining the show. This was an absolute blast. And a special props to David Papadopoulos. Thank you.
You're all very welcome.
Can we get some canned applause in there? So we started with marketing, and lo and behold, Empty, kind of a great ticker, ends up winning it all. What do you think?
Well, this kind of really hits to the whole thing, because the marketing is what gets you, it's like a shiny object that gets you close to what it holds. But as this went on, you know, you could see how the strategy started to become the bigger way that the judgment was made. And that ultimately is probably pretty symbolic of how this happens, because the ticker really shouldn't be the only thing.
Right. There's something else going on.
Right. But the ticker is important because, again, you have 40, 50 ETFs in a category. The ticker can draw you in. But ultimately, like Ben said, he loves the ticker as a marketing item, but he's not that hot about what's going on underneath. And so Ben would be a classic investor who's doing his job of maybe he was sold on the ticker and the name, looked at the holdings and said, no, thanks.
Thanks for listening to Trillions. Special thanks to Danny Berger, Luke Kawa, David Papadopoulos, Rachel Evans, Suzanne Woolley, Ben Steverman, Carolina Wilson. This was a fun episode. Until next time, you can find us on the Bloomberg Terminal, Bloomberg.com, Apple Podcasts, and probably a bunch of other places I haven't heard about yet. We'd love to hear from you. All of us are on Twitter. Eric's at Eric Balchunas. I'm at Joel Weber Show. Trillions is produced by Magnus Hendrickson. Francesca Levy is the head of Bloomberg Podcasts. Bye.